This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dunn Show. You're listening to part two of our February 8th Jimmy Dunn Show.
Do you expect to see King Kong come through the fence now or what?
Mick Fleetwood.
Oh, okay.
One of the things that will be interesting to see about this is
if there are going to be any apologies when this whole thing falls apart.
Yeah.
No, I mean, really, because...
One of the shows
that I stopped listening to for a while because it was always just a bashing on Bush is the guy does a weekly thing. It's this guy, Jack Clark. He's a screaming liberal, and I forget what his thing's
bash
called.
The right.
Yeah, bash the right. Yeah, blast the right.
Blast the right.
And so I listened to it the other day, and of course, a lot of these people are still... bashing, you know, they can't get over Bush. He's, you know, he's gone back to Crawford, but
it's all his fault.
It's all everything his fault, and so forth. And I, you know, there's actually some truth to that. A lot of this stuff carries over for a year or two, no matter what. And in the case of Clinton, of course, it was a good deal because the recovery had started before he got elected, and you know, he was able to ride that in as you know, as,
yeah,
as
in
if
fact,
he did
I
among other things, he was riding.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But. And you wonder what he's going to be doing now. So anyway,
he's still riding, Jimmy.
He's still riding. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, so you'll see a lot of that. But it will be interesting as this some of the solutions that come out are right out of the Keynesian workbook, which are known failures. Right out of the socialist workbook, known failures. And it'll be interesting to see what happens as this whole thing collapses. Where the fingers will be pointing.
Hey, really quickly, I got to mention. Did you see Hillary during her? A speech the other day, a little poking fun at her husband there?
No.
No, you didn't see this?
No.
When she accepted, yes, she just made a comment to the wild ride that she had been through. And the strange things that have happened to her over the past couple decades.
Did she light up a cigar?
No, as she looked back and basically mocking her husband, and he, you know, it was hilarious.
But of course, he's unmockable, so it doesn't matter.
It was great.
Right. He's a classic case of somebody who has absolutely no shame.
Well, he's such an easy punching bag, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to, in order to punch a bag, the bag has to be punchable. I mean, it's, you know, you can say anything to that guy and he wouldn't care. Yes.
He's a hologram.
Yeah, really. Exactly. It's transparent. You know, poof, just doesn't register on the radar. So anyway,
Jimmy, what's going to happen? And we talked about this. We asked on the last show what the collapse would look like.
Right.
When the government goes bankrupt.
Right. And since that time, we speculated on it a little bit. And what my thought is that it's just chaotic in the sense that we don't know what it's going to look like because we don't know what government fixes the government's going to try in the meantime.
Well,
like this wage and price control thing, who could have predicted it would come so early?
Yeah, and you're right about that. I mean, I thought it was, I had given it about a year or two out, and I'm just blown away when they start to do this. And I'm and even making sounds about those businesses that aren't actually getting the actual cash, you know, that they just need to be controlled. And again, we've done it before. You know, Nixon did it, and they did it during the Second World War and before. I mean, this is nothing unusual. They try it, And it always fails. And one of the reasons is, it's pretty obvious why it has to fail. If you're printing up, literally printing trillions of dollars, and you cap some wages and prices, I mean, where's the money go? Well, it goes to places that aren't capped. And when all else fails, it goes into the black market. I mean, that's right. Just, it has to. The money will find a way. People are just not going to stuff it in their mattress.
Right.
But it is interesting to see how people seem to separate I was talking with some people the other day when I was at this party the other night, for instance, how people seem to separate what the government does as some kind of society. For instance, they'll say society does this and society does that, as if society is not made up of individuals, and that, you know, society is needs to spend money, but all the individuals involved in the society are saving money like crazy at this point because they have to. You know, they see the wreck on the horizon. Well, that's what makes up this fiction that we call society, and you can't separate the two. And it's interesting to see how our glorious leaders think that they're two separate items. They're just not. You know, like maybe we're like a beehive, you know, or you know, there's no, bees are not individual, and they don't make up their own minds that much. I mean, there's only three or four different kinds in there, whereas with us here in the United States, there's 320 million different individuals, and they all do, you know, there's no way you can judge what anybody's going to do in the next 48 seconds, and, you know, much less a whole bunch of people. So anyway, the way it's going to go, like you say, what has to happen is once the stuff that is currently available, the goods and services, get into firm hands, once the liquidation has occurred, once the houses that were $300,000 are sold for $40,000, and the guy in the $40,000 in that house can afford it, once that happens, then all of this money that's been printed up will come to the fore. And you will see again, as we saw in 1980, you will see inflation rates of 20% or more. And I'm projecting that it will happen within 2 years. It might take longer than that. But I honestly believe that within 24 months, we're going to have an inflation rate that is going to be, for a lot of people, it'll be the first time. Because, as I say, the last time was 25, almost 30 years ago. And for a lot of people that were maybe, 12 years old or 15 years old, they didn't quite understand what was going on. But, you know, now they're 45, and they're going to get a very quick education. And it'll be interesting to watch. The main thing, the problem that we've got right now, of course, is the government doesn't know what it's doing. And that's the elephant in the room. It is stamping all over the place. It is dancing like a crazy thing. And the rest of us mice are just trying to stay out of the way. And literally, I mean, that's exactly what's happening. They've got this trillion-dollar elephant that is growing at a pace and is just insane. And so how do you make a decision on your individual life when you've got this huge monster in the room that is just flailing around like a crazy person? You can't. And that's what I call the FUD, you know, the uncertainty factor, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And that's one of the reasons why we're still in this problem today. If the government actually would make up its mind and do something, even if it was a crazy thing, even if they just said, look, here's the bill. We are going to spend this $1 trillion on filling in the Grand Canyon and then digging it back out again. Done. That at least would say, we would know what the hell was going on.
Fill it in
and then dig it back out again. I don't care. But if they would just sign, sealed, and delivered, we've decided to blow up Hoover Dam and rebuild it. I don't care. You know, just that's what we're going to do with our $1 trillion. At least then everybody could make their own plans. Whereas it is right now, you have no clue. You have no idea. And that is what is stymieing the current recovery.
Right.
And of course, when they do print up this $1 trillion, it's going to be bad, but at least you can make some kind of plans for it.
The world's largest red light district.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big question is, as the government bails out everybody, who's going to bail out the government? Well, nobody. I mean, that's when inflation, that's when the printing, that's when it all, you know, basically falls apart. And I mean, this could be the big one. This could be the time every country on the face of the earth ever in all recorded history has failed at one point or another. They've gone with inflation. They've tried everything in the world. They've had, you know, totalitarian states. They've had everything, you know, Berlin walls. They've had, done wars. They've done everything they can. And ultimately they do fail because reality shows up. So, you know, you don't know what kind of flavor it's going to take.
Is the big one.
That's what I was. But, you hear that, Elizabeth?
Literally, the only thing that's keeping the United States alive today is that there are still enough people out there that believe that the dollar is a reserve currency. I mean, that's why they're buying up treasury bills at 1% and 0.5%. I mean, you'd have to be crazy to be doing that. I mean, what are you know, your economy has got to be so bad that you're willing to put your money in the United States dollar at less than 1%, with inflation, you can look on the horizon and see that is going to depreciate by upwards of 20% a year, and you still think it's a good deal? I mean, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, I can't believe they sell one.
Yeah, no, but again, that shows you the momentum that the United States, this is capital. When you can have a lot of capital in a country and erode the capital over time, and at some point all the capital goes away and you're left with nothing. So this capital is this faith in the dollar, and there are still enough people out there that believe this because it has been thus all their lives. But there are fewer and fewer people as more and more people drop off the bandwagon, realize that this ain't going to happen. And at some point, there's not going to be anybody left. I mean, it's just that simple. So it's coming. It's just, as always, nobody can tell exactly how it's coming. It usually rears its head in a different way every time, in a slightly different way every time. But the end result's the same. So we'll see what happens. And as I say, we buy our gold and we have our compound.
Where do you buy your gold, Jimmy?
I buy it. Actually, I've been buying gold futures in order to leverage it.
Because so you don't actually have any gold bars? What the hell's the fun of that?
Not much, but I do have some. You know, we're not.
Oh, yeah?
Not
where are they?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Tell Jeff.
Yes, okay. And not here. Okay. All right, well, let's move along.
Okay.
Moving right along.
I did notice a couple of things, international stuff, before we get into light notes. There's two things that are sort of related. One is there's a nosedive. I love this nosedive in Afghan-U.S. relations.
No.
And I'm guessing I know what they're putting up their nose because they're the biggest.
Poppy.
Well, that's right. If they call it a narco state. This article is interesting because Afghanistan has always been one of these problematic places, to put it mildly. And one of the things that I did find interesting was that the Taliban, for all its horrible things that it does with women and children and on and on and on, they had eliminated the drug trade. Well, now, of course, the United States has come in there and eliminated the Taliban, and what's come back with a vengeance is the drug trade has gone crazy.
Heroin.
So here the United States has said, okay, we're going to save the women and children. Oh, but by the way, now we have more heroin than you can possibly consume ever. You know, the price of heroin is dropping practically free.
Right.
Yeah, deflation in heroin prices. They're getting upset.
Send it to Jimmy.
But I mean, it's funny. The Biden went over there, and again, on the same kind of thing where this guy has an automatic foot in his mouth. Apparently he went over there to talk to these guys about this stuff, and he talked to the current leader of Afghanistan, who I believe is guarded by 55, SEALs or, some people of the United
States. Our guys,
yeah, in order, right. So he doesn't get killed. He's, in an enclave all of his own. But the point is that Biden apparently went over and insulted the guy, and relations are going down the toilet. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton's written statement to Congress during her confirmation hearing called Afghanistan a narco state that was plagued by limited capacity and widespread corruption. Well, I mean, one of the things I find interesting about this is the drug trade is flourishing, to put it mildly. And on the same note, February 2nd, here's an article from, I guess, from the New York Times.
If I lived in Afghanistan, I'd be shooting up all the time, too. I mean,
yeah, well, that's right.
Of course.
Border proves no obstacle for Mexican cartels. It turns out that the drug trade, mostly marijuana, across our border has, increased 100, 200%. They can't possibly.
Woohoo! Where'd Jack go?
I love this. Despite huge law enforcement actions on both sides of the southwest border, the Mexican marijuana trade is more robust and brazen than ever, law enforcement officials say. Not only the new tactics, the cartels are increasingly planting marijuana crops inside the United States in a major strategy shift. A Justice Department report issued last year concluded that Mexican drug trafficking organizations now operated in 195 cities, up from 50 just 3 years ago. I mean, it is amazing. Smuggling is still the most conspicuous in the Southwest, which has been home to the Mexican traffickers for more than two decades. From Nogales, Arizona, recently a reporter watched as smugglers across the border in hilltop stations peered through binoculars at the movements of the American Border Patrol agents. And, I mean, they were...
Well, they obviously haven't spent enough money on border.
Well, that's what I'm... But I love this. It says, drug smugglers parked a car transport trailer against the Mexican side of the border one day in December, dropped a ramp over the security fence, and drove two pickups filled with marijuana onto Arizona soil. The Border Patrol agents gave chase. A third truck appeared on the Mexican side, and gunmen sprayed machine gun fire over the fence at the agents. Smugglers in the first vehicles torched one of the trucks and abandoned the other with $1 million worth of marijuana still in the truck bed. And then they vaulted back over the fence. I mean, you know, it's so amazing that you can, well, you know, that's the price of business. Okay. We just left $1 million worth of marijuana. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll get tomorrow. We'll do it again. And one of the quotes here is this, somebody was saying they're walking along and they said every day bales just drop over the fence, you know, and then, it reminds me of the old days here.
In Florida.
In Florida, they used to have square grouper.
Right, right.
And so it would all float up on the beach all the time, you know. I just think it's stunning when you realize I was looking at the Parade magazine today on the dozen or so most wanted in the world, and several of these people were drug smugglers. And one guy had, you know, imported 500,000 ecstasy pills in the United States, and some other people had done some other stuff like that. And I'm thinking, you know, what a losing deal. I mean, here it is.
This is our most wanted.
This is our most.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is our most.
No, well, they've ratcheted those laws up so much right now. I mean, literally, like one bottle of pills off the shelf behind the counter at the drugstore can get you 25 years in prison, like mandatory minimum. I mean, just one bottle. I mean, you can hack somebody up with a machete and get less time than if you...
That bottle of pills.
Bottle of Tylenol. Right.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
And then you see where the swimmer got
suspended. Michael Phelps.
I like the little the JPEG going around Wheaties.
Right, instead of Wheaties.
Wheaties. Free bowl in every box.
That's right.
Free pipe in every box.
Free pipe in every box.
Now what's the deal with that? The cop wanted to arrest his ass
in South Carolina.
Yeah, they don't have any decent evidence, but they might find something. I mean, all they got to have is one person to testify. That, yeah, they were there, and that's what he did. But, I mean...
Well, he lost his endorsement.
Did he lose his endorsement?
Yep.
I thought he got it back.
Not Speedo, though. Speedo's sticking with him.
Is that what
he
it
lost
is?
His Kellogg's Wheaties. That's right.
And then he,
He lost a sandwich endorsement, which I thought was kind of ironic.
Right.
Because you think that would have helped him out, you know. But, you know, eat five more sandwiches. I don't know.
Right, and then he got suspended from the USA.
Yeah, right.
Team.
What are the munchies? Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
You think the Frito Lay people have been all over that?
Yeah, exactly.
Frito Lay.
You had the commercial.
Our new spokesperson.
He's just sitting on the couch, just greasing a box of Doritos.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hogging them down.
Well, you know, and you see that the big peanut butter scare with salmonella.
Right.
But I mean, peanuts are a munchie food too. The peanut people can make a comeback.
Oh, definitely.
Peanut guy, they're in trouble because they knew about that salmonella and they didn't
that's
say
what they
anything.
Said, yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's going to be a big thing.
Why would you ever do that? I mean, that's got to be stunning to
well,
if you
because
know. I can't,
you
something's
knew,
wrong
you
with that
to,
picture.
You had to recall everything you had created. You're going to voluntarily give up millions of dollars.
Well, I know, but
there's always the chance that they're not going to catch you.
Well, there's always a chance there's not going to be any outbreak. I mean, they found like something, but I mean, that doesn't prove.
Did anybody die?
Something. Oh, I think people have died.
I don't remember anybody dying.
From what?
The salmonella business?
Either way, the peanut butter? It's going to be...
You're not supposed to eat peanut butter anyway. It's bad for you on so many different levels, and there's a lot of people that are allergic to it.
It's like Dashiell. You knew about it. You didn't do anything about it
for
6 months.
You know, we didn't even talk about those guys. Talk about the debt.
All those guys
that don't pay their taxes.
And you think about it. I mean, Jimmy, what would happen to you if you left off $120,000 in your taxes next year? I mean, would they just blow it off?
Oh, yeah. I'd call the Dashiell Amendment. Yeah. I'm using the Daschle paragraph. Here it is. Isn't it the Daschle paragraph in the IRS
now
code?
That's not, now it's the Geithner paragraph.
Oh, is it the Geithner paragraph?
Well, yeah, he's the one that got away with
oh,
it.
Oh, he's the one that got
Daschle
away with it.
Had
yeah.
to quit.
Well, they were also, apparently they're nailing some girl for $5,000.
Yeah, it's like $1,000 or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean, they're going to lynch her a good one. Jesus Christ.
She's the new performance czar. You know, Obama created some cabinet level position called
oh,
the.
I was making a list. I'm glad. Go ahead.
Performance, her position.
Yeah, performance czar.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like a pole dancer or what?
I don't know.
No, I mean, you know what is amazing to me is all the czars that are involved. I mean, what, why would you have a drug czar and a wheat, you know, agriculture or whatever it is,
anything czar.
Because you can.
I know, but I don't understand that, but I mean, to think that people actually look aside and say, oh, that's a good thing when you realize right. what the czar did.
Yeah,
hello. I mean, the guy was a mass murderer. Jesus. I mean, why would you ever, as a government, to show you the blindness of this, of these people to reality, to names, you might as well say, well, we're going to have a Hitler for him also. I want this guy to be the Stalinesque.
if I remember correctly, the first one I remember was the drug czar.
Yeah, that was Bennett.
It was William Bennett.
That's right.
And that's the first one I remember that they ever called a czar.
Right.
He was the drug czar.
And of course, you know, and
Bill
how,
Bennett, right?
And what I want to know is we just got finished with that. How's that working for you?
He's got a radio.
How's that old drug, stopping him drug doing for
he's
you?
He's got
how
a radio
just
show
say no.
Now.
How's that working for you?
He's got a radio show every morning.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'd like to ask him. Hey, Bill. Hey, buddy. Mr. Ex-Drug Czar. How's that working for you? How's that working for the United States?
It was a gig. It was a gig.
He stopped the flow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, no, he doubled the flow. It was one of the two.
Oh, my God. That's...
All right, yeah, so the peanut butter, they're going to be in trouble. We'll talk about that more in the future, I'm sure.
Okay, well, we'll put that on the list.
Absolutely, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I've got here, before we get into light notes...
Uh-huh.
Postal Service may cut deliveries. I think
oh, you see that? Yeah, going to the 5-day, maybe.
Yeah. Well, they ought. They should just sell it, for God's sake. You know, I tell you, people don't realize this. At 42 cents, it's still a bargain. I mean,
because it costs them 58 cents.
Well,
something.
Whatever.
They're running a $3 billion deficit.
I mean, it's crazy, right. But I'm saying if a private company. You could actually, I mean, I could take that thing over tomorrow, believe me, and start making money. You charge 50 cents a stamp or what. There's still people that'll do it. Personally, when I think about what I can send for 42 cents, the amount of information and so forth, it's not a bad deal on some of the stuff that you have to do. And so that, but I mean, I grew up in an era, I'll never forget this, especially during Christmas. You got two deliveries a day, 7 days a week for a month around December because they, all the Christmas cards that were sent out. And I remember selling Christmas cards too. That was almost fun. The other thing.
Almost fun.
Well, I sold them to my relatives. You know, it's one of those things you do. Apparently Al Gore has said that, temperature changes would bring a screeching halt, quote, would bring a screeching halt to human civilization and threaten the very fabric of life everywhere on the earth and within this century if we don't change. So we're doomed.
Yeah, I heard the seas were going to rise another 20 feet.
Yeah, they
feet.
Said they were talking about what parts of Washington would still be above water.
Right.
I mean, like the Capitol and the Lincoln Memorial and some other places. And I'm thinking, so what?
Right.
I mean, if you can't get there.
Sure, right. Is he trying to encourage global warming?
I mean, I'm wondering it was a swamp.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
It still is.
It still is. It's even worse than it ever was.
The global warming thing.
He repeats phrases such as unified national smart grid the way he once did, quote, no controlling legal authority. And the ridicule has been replaced by worship, even by his political foes. I love this. They call this guy the Goracle. The Goracle's power seemed to come from his ability to scare the bejesus out of people. And I mean, you know, that is so true. They're doing that. Of course, they're doing this bailout thing. You know, we're doomed.
No. Immediate crisis if it doesn't get passed immediately.
Immediately. 800 pages. And I wonder how many people have actually read any of it. I mean.
Well, it doesn't matter. Look, all the Democrats decided. I mean, they literally just believe that it's some magical fairy dust or something that you put the money out there and it's going to help everything, you know?
You know what they are? You know what they remind me of? Well, you mentioned that, the fairy dust and the belief. They remind me of the old days when we would sit in the movie theater and they would, at the end of Peter Pan, you all had to, what did you have to do at the end of Peter Pan to bring Tinkerbell back or whatever it was? You had to believe.
Yeah, you clap your hands.
You clap your hands or whatever it was. And that's what they're doing. I mean, that's, they have to believe, you know, if they get their magic prayer rug out, you know, their blood, red blood of Jesus Christ prayer rug or the green prayer of posterity rug or whatever. And they're going to go into a room and they're going to pray and everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Like, these guys, it is like a religion.
It's total fiction.
You know, God, they're right.
There's only two ways they can actually fix the economy, and that is, they need to cut taxes to real businesses that already exist. Keep the things
they,
that...
They need to cut... Let me think of it. I've talked about this before. It is stunning to me in a capitalist system, which is capital... A capitalist system is the only system that has ever provided universal wealth, rising tide raises all boats, and so forth and so on, that they tax capital. I mean, what are you talking about? A capital gains tax? It makes no sense at all. And the fact is, when you tax a business... When you tax a business, the business doesn't pay any taxes. It's individuals. Again, we've talked about this before. Only individuals pay taxes. The business just passes them along. It's the price of doing it. And it's a scam. It's an out-and-out scam. What they should do, if they're going to do it at all, is to have, you know, if you're going to have an income tax, actually it should be just a sales tax, because at least that's sort of semi-voluntary. I mean, you don't go to jail if you don't buy anything. You know, here, with an income tax, if you decide... Not to have an in, well, you can have not have an in. I cleverly had no income this year, so I probably won't have to.
Cleverly.
I cleverly avoided earning any money.
Genius.
But the point is that the thing about an income tax is if you don't pay it, you go to jail. At least with a sales tax, if you don't pay it, you just don't own anything. I mean, that's okay. You can get by with that. But only individuals pay taxes. A business doesn't pay. It's a scam. They should eliminate all taxes on business, capital gains. All of that should just go away. And the beauty of eliminating any kind of corporate tax is that there wouldn't be any reason to be a non-profit organization anymore, because it wouldn't pay, because you're not paying taxes anyway. So they would all be profit making. I don't believe in non-profit. I think it's a sin.
You hate God, Jimmy.
That's it. And locally here, the last thing I wanted to talk about that actually means something. It's, again, always talking about the people that want money. Locally, they're going to pass our red light camera thing.
Ugh.
A year ago, I went down and talked to him. I said, you know,
For our safety.
For our safety, right. Well, what's so funny about this is, you know, it's only about the money.
Right.
And here's how you can tell. On its face, you know it's about the money. Why? Because they're going to partner with a private company. And this private company is going to come in here and at no charge,
right,
is going to put up all the cameras and put up all the electronics and everything. Now the monitoring is going to be done when they take the picture. It's going to be monitored before they send it out to you. It's going to be examined by a sworn officer. I like that part. You know, as opposed to just some as opposed to some hack policeman. Mm-hmm. It's a sworn officer of the law will examine the photo to make sure it's a real photo. Mm-hmm. I guess, and then they send it to you, and it's $125 fine. Now, of course, the company that puts the equipment up gets a chunk, 40% or something like that. So they're obviously going to put a couple of $1 million into this thing, and they're expecting a return on their money. So here we have, we want to put the red light cameras up to stop people from running red lights. Of course, if people don't run the red lights, the company doesn't get any money. The private company did. Now, the private company, no idiot. They know damn well that there's still going to be plenty of people running red lights. So here you are telling me that it's not about the money, when we know that it's about the money, because the private company's in there for the money. And B, you ain't stopping the red light running, because otherwise this company wouldn't be here. I mean, you have failed on the two things that you told
care about,
me
right.
that you care about. You failed on both of them. I'm asking, what's the deal here? And it's about for the children. It's about the safety. And if we save one life, it'll be worth it. I'm thinking, what a scam. You know, they can't raise the taxes here because the property taxes have gone down. So they're finding every other sting operation they can. They have SWAT teams going out and they nail the drug people and all that stuff. They park the ambulances on the side of the road. And if you don't slow down, that's a $200 ticket.
Hey, speaking of SWAT teams, a quick digression. Did you see that article I had about those kids doing the swatting?
No.
The kids have found out how to use the, I think it's the hearing impaired system online to call 911 and get SWAT teams called out to like random people's houses and stuff.
I did hear about that. Yeah. They had one of those TDD machines or whatever it is that they call the hearing impaired.
I guess, you know, and so their voice isn't recorded or whatever. And it's not directly traceable through the internet or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I say more power to them. They get some bailout money to do that.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah. You wait and see what kind of.
Well, anyway, with this red light thing, let me just finish up here in Duncanville. I forget, in Dallas, I guess, right outside of Dallas.
Dunkin' Donutville.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A council member wants to reevaluate their red light camera policy. Here's a town of 38,500 that issued 45,000 of these red light camera tickets. I mean, can you imagine? That's more than one per inhabitant in the town.
Really?
And the city councilman said it seemed a little excessive.
Okay.
So it turns out that they're getting all their money. Basically, the town is being supported by these damn red light things. And what happens is, of course, the tickets mostly were for the people that would not stop at the white line. They would, you know, roll up to the where you, you know, they'd
to the
stop.
Box. To the box.
Well, whatever. Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, you know how there's a crosswalk.
Right.
And so if you're in the crosswalk, you get your picture taken and a $75 fine.
That's right.
So.
It's called the box. Don't block the
box. So this guy, the councilman says, these tickets are not safety related. They're revenue related. Duh.
It's all revenue, baby.
It's all revenue. So anyway, I thought here's a place out there near Dallas that's having second thoughts, but probably not any more than that.
Too late now.
Too late now.
Cameras are already in place.
So anything else you guys got? I've got
a few line notes.
I got a couple here. The state of New Hampshire may secede.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I want them to secede.
State of New Hampshire, I snoped it and couldn't find anything.
Yep. Nope.
So it seemed to be restoring constitutional federal and via the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The bill declares that the actions of the federal government that are not delegated to it by the Constitution are to be considered void. Moreover, it declares that certain usurpations of these federalist principles by the federal government will reserve for the state of New Hampshire the power to sever its loyalty from the United States of America and become independent. And they have a link here to the bill. So, that's where the freedom, free talk live is.
Live free or die.
The whole idea on the Free State Project, you know, was to take over a state and secede. And of course, the balloting was between, I think, Montana and New Hampshire. And I guess they settled on New Hampshire. And that's where Free Talk Live
go in.
So, I guess we're supposed to move on up there.
The Republic of New Hampshire or what?
Yes, I guess.
It.
Yeah. I guess.
Jimmy Doneland.
Yeah, well, it's going to be something. I don't know.
Way too cold for Jimmy Doan up there.
That's the only problem.
No, actually, never. Nothing's too cold for me up there. I'd go up there in a second. Tell you that. The other thing is they had the Australian gun law update. Which is that the one you sent me? They found out that...
Oh, no, that's Jack sent that one.
That was
Snoped it. Okay.
Snoped it. Got snoped.
Yeah, if you got that the article about Australia's gun laws and them
having
taking away
drastic
gun,
effect on increase
looking on snopes.
I wanted to ask our legal. I got a couple of legal things here.
Who's that?
Okay, unreturned library book leads to woman's arrest.
Oh my God!
Independence, Iowa. Nice name for the town, Independence. Okay, Iowa woman has been arrested because she failed to return a library book. 39-year-old Shelley Kuntz was arrested Thursday night on a fifth-degree theft charge. She is accused of keeping the book is called The Freedom Writer's Diary.
Nice!
Which she checked out from the library in nearby Jessup in April. Police say that the book, which is about a high school teacher's effort to inspire students to write, is valued at $13.95. Court records show the library employees repeatedly tried to contact Kuntz by phone and mail. A police officer even visited her home last September.
Wow, they're serious about that book.
Officials at the Buchanan County jail say Kuntz was released after posting a $250 bond.
It's a $13 book.
$14
book.
Plus tax. So this is...
wait till they get into paying all the lawyers to prosecute and defend her and everything.
Can you imagine?
I mean,
you talk about stupidity. I mean, this is just, you know, you think it reminds me of the time that I got a letter from the IRS, very extensive letter, something like that, saying I still owed him a dime. I mean, you know, and it was, it had to cost him $50 to get, to send by the time you figured all the rigmarole that went
minimum,
through.
Minimum.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, he couldn't write that off, could you, pal? So I sent him 9 cents.
All right, we got a couple more things here.
9 cents.
Well, we did. Of course, you sent me this thing about the congressman introduced a bill requiring camera phones to click for pics.
That was awesome.
I love this. The Camera Phone Predator Alert Act.
That's right. They're going to make your phone. It's going to have to make a noise, a click, an audible click when you're taking a picture.
And that's because they said it what I love. It's just because people were going into the ladies' room or something, or, you know, shooting up girls' skirts or something like that. Or
yeah, like walking down the road and stuff. And just well,
they did have that one guy that had it on his shoe. They arrested him. He had a camera on his shoe. and he would you know, it was
James
facing up.
Bond.
It was like on the toe of his shoe. And he would slide it, you know, in the subway or something. Mm-hmm. He'd slide it under the dress and click away or something like that. Anyway, I love this.
Wired
notes that a similar law is already on the books in Japan, where such behavior is practically a national pastime.
Oh, yeah. Look, in Japan, they don't have the same standards. I mean, they just don't think of crudeness the same way we do over here. I mean, they have stores over there that where you can go and buy just used girls' underwear.
Really?
Just hanging on the rack.
You can get them in a vending machine.
No way. Oh my God, that is okay. And we're headed there.
Well, I mean,
I haven't seen that. I wonder. Look on eBay, see if we can find that. Oh my God. Well, then the other thing is talk about a legal thing. There's two things actually that have to do with the internet.
Guilty.
Okay. Student fights a record of cyberbullying. This was the Catherine Evans, I think it's in Miami. Catherine Evans says she was frustrated with her English teachers in high school with her pleas for helping with assignments. So she wrote on her Facebook page, she wrote a rant and invited other people to express their hatred for this teacher. And apparently she got suspended and apparently she had some responses. Some of the responses said, you're wrong, the teacher's a great teacher, yada, yada, yada. And finally, after a couple of days, she removed it. But apparently she was called to the principal's office and told she was being suspended for cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying.
And she's suing to get that removed from her record. And she's in college now, but apparently she's worried about, you know, that this is going to follow her the rest of her life.
It will.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
cyberbullying.
This kind of stuff. It's just another
way.
Well, the ACLU is in there. They're funny.
How about the teen
accused of Facebook sex scam? Did you see this in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
An 18-year-old male student accused of posing as a girl on Facebook, tricking at least 31 male classmates into sending him naked photos of themselves and then blackmailing some for sex acts.
Right.
And
he's facing 300 years.
Yeah, but can you? I mean, what?
300 years.
300 years.
Yeah, they need to tighten up those penalties a little bit.
Yeah, child. Let's see. 5 counts of child enticement. 2 counts of second degree sexual assault. 2 counts of third degree sexual assault. Possession of child pornography. Repeated sexual assault and making a bomb threat.
12 counts of tricking.
Yeah, 12 counts of
and
tricking.
A partridge in a pear tree.
Oh my God! So you know, this is like mischief, right? No,
not anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the woman aims for the largest breasts? You see that?
That's great. Yeah.
Crazy. Brazil.
Shayla Hershey, 28. She's been told that her 38 KKK size breast implants are record. I have a picture of her here, and she's a cute looking girl.
Real popular in Georgia.
But apparently she's trying for the Guinness World Book or something.
She's gonna get it.
I think she's gonna have to go to Brazil to do it, right? Is that?
That's where she's been getting.
I started
all the
because I had a picture of Dolly Parton in my head since I was.
Dolly's fault.
Huh?
It's all Dolly's fault.
It's all Dolly's fault. That's right. I want to have that body, she said. Okay, well, good.
She's getting it.
And this is the last thing I've got here. This is Chicago. Police say the teen posed as a Chicago cop.
I love this one.
A 14-year-old boy is accused of impersonating a police officer.
He put on a uniform.
He put on a uniform.
He shows up at the station.
He shows up at the station.
Right.
He was assigned on patrol for 5 hours. And after the patrol was ended, they noticed that his uniform lacked a star.
Bob, you take the new kid.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a gun, never issued any tickets, but I love this. But the teenager appeared in a juvenile courtroom Monday with his hands cuffed. He's 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Hands cuffed behind his back. And a judge ordered that he be held in a juvenile detention center because he could pose a danger to himself. What? I mean,
no, because he pissed us off is what that is.
Yeah.
That's how you interpret that. Well, I love, of course, he's talking about pissing off. What was it? The one they said, the guy who had shot the cop, they chased him down and when they found, and the cops chased him down and they shot him.
They found
68 bullets in him.
Right.
Yeah. And they said, well, why'd you have to fire 68? He says, why'd you fire 68 bullets? He says, well,
right, yeah, right.
That's all we had.
That's all we had. Yeah. Why did you fire 68 bullets? Well, that's all we had. What an answer. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Awesome.
So, anyway, that's the stuff I had. What's next? Anything for anybody else?
I just had this one thing on a legal note. It was pretty funny. Man scared woman to death.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's right. Was it a man or a kid?
It was a man thing.
Yeah, he was man age.
Now he had like stolen something, or he just
burglarized a bank. Are you going to tell him?
I got the story right here.
Go ahead.
But he's being charged with first degree murder.
He was running from the cops.
Yeah, it's
trying to find a place to hide.
This is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Larry Whitfield was on foot. His getaway car wrecked. His rookie attempt at robbing a bank thwarted by a set of locked doors.
Rookie attempt.
Yep. According to detectives, looking for a place to hide, police say he found himself inside the home of a frightened old woman. And then, basically, there's no evidence that Whitfield ever touched 79-year-old Mary Parnell. Authorities say he even told the grandmother five he didn't want to hurt her, directing her to sit in the chair in the bedroom. But investigators have no doubt he terrified her so much that she died of a heart attack.
Ooh!
So
add that on to his criminal.
Exactly. I like this, but my favorite one was Tio Twaki. He comes back, seriously, is this not the most racist thing you've ever heard of? Black man scares white woman to death. I can see the precedent now. Your Honor, I was driving down the road and this Negro fella, he gave me the stink eye.
When I read that, the stink eye, I'm Jimmy stealing that. I'm giving you the stink eye.
It's the Jimmy Doan show.
He scared me real bad and I suffered grievous injury. I really need $1 million to ease my pain.
$1 million fellow right. Gave me the stink eye.
All right.
Well, you know, unfortunately, this is what happens. There's such a thing called felony murder these days. If you're committing any one of the numbered felonies and somebody dies, then you die too. Basically,
it's all over.
I don't know. When I saw the picture of the guy, I figured that the reason why he scared her to death, she actually thought he was either Millie or Vanilli, and he was going to sing to her.
Oh, no, not the singing.
Punk. I will be back soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I've got a couple.
Another version.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, not anything. I just wanted to say it's kind of bummed out. We lost Dewey Martin from Buffalo Springfield. Drummer died and had a Billy Powell, keyboard player for Lynyrd Skynyrd. And
partied too much.
Yeah, and then Chris Chianelli, man, my buddy from the RC TV show on DIY Network. You know, I liked him because he was like, looked like he was really totally stoned the whole time.
Cool. You know? I like that.
He was.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Yeah, you can still catch him on the DIY Network or stuff. It had some good episodes. It was kind of funny to check out.
We leave on a sad note there.
Well, you know, a little light note, but a little sad. Lofting up to heaven.
The obituaries.
Well,
there.
Actually, some of those guys are probably...
We'll keep the emails coming. Jimmy at jimmydoan.com.
Or you can just send it to Jack Rhodes.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Fill up his mailbox, not mine.
That's right.
No, hey, thank you for coming, Jack. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good to be here, as always.
One super, super quick last story. Kaylee Anthony's grandfather, they found him in a hotel room. I mean, he's still alive and everything, but he wrote a suicide note, and he was skipping out or something. Said he wanted to go be with Kaylee.
Tried to kill himself.
The real part of the story that I want to emphasize, though, is the way they found him. The GPS on his cell phone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He made a call from his cell phone.
Brother's watching.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's it. Enemy of the state. Let's go.
Woo-hoo.
Surveillance. $1 million for cops. Let's go.
1984.
Hey, new intro coming.
The what now?
I said new intro coming.
Oh, new intro coming. Yeah, I got to put that together. That'll be fun and exciting.
Oh, see you next time on the Jimmy Doan Show.
Ragged Rob, check out the Hanger Dogs.
Yeah, that's right. Hanger Dogs, that's right. Mm-hmm. So we beat them again.
They'll give out one time. Now, they came out with a great last
episode. It was fair. You know, they try, but I mean, you have to listen to them just to notice the dramatic difference between them and the Jimmy Doan Show.
Ooh, burn.
No, no, well, I'm recommending that people listen to them.
I love it. See ya.